from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. Hello, everybody. The vibes are up on a Wednesday because somebody brought donuts.
Yeah, shout out.
Shout out JC.
Yeah, shout out JC.
Yeah, our colleague pulled up with donuts from Mr. T's out in Modesto.
Yeah, shout out Mr. T's.
Kind of stepping on your,
I live out here now, so JC, I guess, he lives out there still, so I guess that's his job too. Like now, I can't.
You're letting him claim Modesto.
There's gonna be two
that's
of us.
Tough.
All right, there could be two of us.
No, Modesto. The Modesto delegation gets one.
All right, then it's
if
me.
Somebody from Oakley pulled up or Brentwood, Oakley are the same. If somebody from Brentwood or Oakley pulled up into the station and was like, yeah, I'm the Brentwood Oakley guy now, I'd be like, absolutely not.
See, I don't think JC's come in here and done that, though. He just brings donuts for the crew.
But from Mr. T's, which is a Modesto spot.
You know, expensive gas is for me to go to Modesto and back.
Just to pick up donuts. That'd be nutty. That's Jesse Toppe. He's in for James Hamm, who is on assignment. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. It's draft day.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that, but we got to talk about what happened in the NBA last night.
That was pretty wild.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, that was one of those, let me send some texts out to the boys and see what the reactions are.
Yeah, so if you missed it, sitting there last night. Oh, good. I've been logged out of my computer. Awesome. Anyways, I'm sitting there last night, and I'm just hanging out, and I'm going, God, I need some NBA stuff to happen. We got the Malik Monk news, and then it just kind of felt very like, not, you hear rumors about what's happening, what are the Warriors going to do with Chris Paul and Klay Thompson, and Paul George with the Sixers, but now he's not, and then Houston wants to be in on it, and all this stuff, and then last night, Mikal Bridges, who we talked about yesterday, probably not available. Turns out, was available.
Pretty available for the right price.
For the low, low price of Bojan Bogdanović, 5 first-round picks and a second-round pick, Mikal Bridges is leaving Brooklyn to go to the New York Knicks.
4 of those picks unprotected, too, the first-rounders.
4 unprotected first.
4.
4 of them things.
Worth it, though.
Initial reaction?
I'd do it every time if I was the Knicks. I think
me too.
Initial reactions, the Knicks are the second-best team in the East right now. I think they're competitive with Boston, to say the very least, too. Like, they can get a series against Boston, I think, if they... Yeah.
It feels to me almost like they...
It feels like a two-team race in the East right now, though, I'll say that.
Yeah, and it feels like they watched what happened in the Western Conference semifinals with the Timberwolves just matching up with the Nuggets. The Nuggets were the king of the West. And they looked like they were going to just kind of steamroll through the playoffs again, and we'd get this Titanic Nuggets-Celtics matchup. But hey, look, the Timberwolves were built by the guy who built the Nuggets, and they were built to take down the Timberwolves. This to me feels like the Knicks building to take down the Celtics.
I mean, Woj pretty much tweeted that yesterday, I think, too. He's like, yeah, the Knicks are building up to beat the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, because now you could go, and it's TBD on what's going to happen with OG Anunoby.
That's the key right there, too.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. Because even just Mikal Bridges by himself, right? You have Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, Mikal Bridges. All those guys went to Villanova, by the way. I don't know if you heard that.
I didn't. Thanks for letting me know.
You're welcome.
John Poles, I think. Nova Knicks. Yeah.
Yeah. That it turns out they all went to Villanova.
Wow. Over under 80 times we hear that this season.
Way over. We're going way over.
It was like a low number I threw out there, too.
Yeah. 80 is not even every game.
Yeah. Hmm. We'll double it. 160.
That's way. Oh, that's a good number.
Yeah.
Because that's twice a game. Or once again, twice a game for the regular season.
Yeah.
But then you get to the playoffs and there's going to be like a features about it.
Gosh, might hit 160 in game one of the playoffs. I'm already over the Knicks.
No, but the Villanova four, right, with whether it's Julius Randle or Isaiah Hartenstein, like, okay, that's nice. But I don't think they're beating Boston in a seven-game series.
They're not beating Boston if OG's not there.
But if you add OG to that mix, where now maybe you trade Julius Randle and you get a couple of pieces back for him, and now you can have OG Anunoby as like a small ball five almost. Like, that just directly negates a lot of what the Celtics are very, very good at.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's fascinating. I love this move for the Knicks. And it wasn't the only move Brooklyn was making last night, because while Brooklyn was sending Mikal Bridges to the Knicks for four unprotected firsts.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to explain this one to me.
A protected first, an unprotected pick swap, and a second. Brooklyn was also making a trade with Houston. So Brooklyn gets their own 2025 first from Houston, which negated a previously agreed to pick swap, I believe, from the James Harden trade.
Yes.
So Brooklyn just gets their own 2025 pick back, because Brooklyn figures to be worse than Houston next year. So if they had a pick swap, if Houston makes the playoffs, Brooklyn goes from potentially having the number one pick to being in like the 20s. So they get their own pick back. They get a 2026 first round pick from Houston and the rights to the least favorable of the Mavs, Rockets, and Suns first-round picks in 2029.
Sure.
You follow?
Yeah.
So whatever the worst of those three picks is, because the Rockets own them, that goes to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Houston gets a 2025 first-round pick swap. Is that right?
It's what it says on the rundown.
A 2027 first, and then the rights to the two most favorable of the Mavs, Suns, and Rockets first rounders in 2029.
Picks were traded is all I got from this.
It's a lot of picks.
Yeah.
And so the reporting around this from Houston, and why Houston is stockpiling picks now, is that Houston wants to make a run at Kevin Durant. And it had previously been reported that the Rockets wanted to be in on just any big name, which makes sense. Like, if you're the Rockets, you feel like, yeah, hey,
you went 41-41 last season. You have the opportunity to make a deal like that, a splash. Yeah, definitely.
So that was the other thing that was happening last night. That one's really convoluted and weird.
Yeah.
And Brian Windhorst was on ESPN on Carlin versus Joe right before us. And he said he's never in all of his years covering the NBA seen a trade like this, where it's just undoing pick swaps and agreeing to future pick swaps, but maybe, and it's contingent on where the team, super weird trade, but basically Houston's trying to stack.
You have
assets.
To imagine that Houston already has a deal they know, or maybe a couple of deals that they know they're on the verge on. Like, I feel like making this kind of deal, because I feel like they're setting themselves up for something bigger than that.
Yeah, it's hard to believe they would just do this.
And it's like, oh, yeah, now let's go see what's out there now, fellas. It's like, no. It's like, I feel like they have to have something there right now.
Like,
whether
they called
Kevin Durant or someone else.
Like, they called about Kevin Durant, and the Suns said, we're going to need X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And this was just kind of a step toward getting X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, I think it's kind of one of those things.
Yeah, I think I would tend to agree with you. But I think this is just a precursor of things to come in the NBA. Because free agency starts, well, the draft is tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Tom's Watch Bar. We're going to be out there. You, me, D-Lo, Casey, Charlie O, Joe from Promotions. We're all going to be out at Tom's Watch Bar at 5 o'clock hanging out watching the draft. Come vibe with us. We'll have speakers, a microphone. It's not going to be live. We're just going to be chatting, talking hoops. It's going to be a ton of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. So come out there and hang out. So we got draft moves coming tonight for sure. But then free agency starts on June 30th. And you've got LeBron. Is he going to sign a max deal with the Lakers? What is Paul George going to do? I mentioned the Klay Thompson and Chris Paul things. Like, there's all these huge names that could be on the move, and now you throw the Rockets in, and hey, they're going to try and go get Kevin Durant, or maybe Jimmy Butler, or maybe they're going to be the Paul George team. It is fascinating.
The West is just building up again. We'll talk about that. Kings. We'll talk about that later.
And there's the Kings.
Yeah. What are you guys going to do?
Dude, I got to tell you, Mikal Bridges, again, really good player. I don't want this to sound like I'm dogging Mikal Bridges, because I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Mikal Bridges is really good. Is he that 1A that he looked like in his half a season with Brooklyn 2 years ago? No, I don't think so. But he is going to be way overqualified for his role with the Knicks.
Yeah, no. He's not even going to have to be the top guy on the team. And frankly, I mean, sometimes DiVincenzo is going to be the second best guy on a given night, or Josh Hart or whoever. He's not going to have to just all this pressure's on him.
Yeah, I think over the course of the year, it might shake out that he's just consistently their second best guy.
Yeah.
But on a night-to-night basis, he doesn't need to be a shot creator, or he can hang out on the wing, he can play great defense, he can knock down some threes, and then, oh, hey, we need you to create here and there, and I think that's where he'll be really, really good. But 5 first-round picks?
It's a lot.
And 4 unprotected first?
Sounds like a Rudy Gobert-type deal.
It just makes me wonder, because we've been talking like, hey, well, the 13th pick and Harrison Barnes get it done for Kyle Kuzma, and now I'm looking at him like, man... I
get that, but I think it also
I don't think
comes,
it's going to take 5 firsts.
No. But I think it also comes down to circumstances, too.
Yeah.
Like the Nets, I think the way it's been reported, at least the last year and a half or whatever, was like, yeah, they didn't necessarily want to move off from Mikal Bridges, but you do give them this Godfather offer. It's like, we have no choice at this point. We look at the team like the Wizards, who are just like, yeah, we're going to blow it up the next 3 years. Just give us your expiring contracts and picks.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, maybe
that's true.
Kuzma on the loss of the. Maybe Kuzma on the Golden State Warriors costs a lot more than Kuzma on the Washington Wizards. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, maybe.
We'll see what happens, but I do get the path you're taking with that.
Poor Jordy Fernandez, too. Finally gets a shot as a
better
head
get
coach.
To coaching.
Yeah, because it's not Mikal Bridges and that's it. There's now talk that they're going to try and trade Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yep.
There's talk that they're going to try and trade Cam Johnson now. We'll talk about what that means for the Kings. We'll talk about what the Mikal Bridges move means for the Kings. But that was one of the first things I thought about. It's like, oh, no, Jordy. Because James and I had talked about on this show that, at least they don't seem hell-bent on trading Mikal Bridges. He's got a good foundation and talent there. It's a good spot for Jordy.
I at least hope the Nets, like, hired him, like, let him know, like, hey, this could happen, by the way.
Instead they had to have, right?
Like I said, this is like the third time the Nets have just completely failed in the last 10 years, so I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe, but I don't know.
I think this is the right move for the Nets, but it's a tough look for our guy, Jordy Fernandez.
Good luck.
Not on him, just
he's not going to have anything to work with.
No DFS, no Cam Johnson. They're going to be like, hey, here's Ben Simmons and Bojan Bogdanovic.
That's Ben Simmons off our season loading?
No. Any Kings fan that has residual, like, Ben Simmons?
No, we're not doing that.
Knock it off.
We're not doing that. Maybe if he gets bought out.
No.
Yes, if he gets bought out, we get him for the minimum.
I want no smoke. I want no Ben Simmons smoke.
No, if he gets bought out, we get him for, like, cheap or whatever. Yeah, you do
pass.
That.
Hard pass.
Oh, my gosh.
Hard pass. Oh, we got plenty of Kings. We got NBA draft. We've got Sean Cunningham, who covers the Kings for Fox 40 and, of course, on the Kings Beat podcast with our friends James Hamm. And with Brendan Nunes, he's going to join us at 10:30. What do the Kings look like they'll be doing tonight? Can they get aggressive like the Knicks did? We'll talk about all that with Sean. We'll talk about all that with you coming up on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. He's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We'll be right back.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
No James Hamm this week. He's out on assignment. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's Jesse Tapia hanging out with me. We're rocking with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you up to 4. And then We'll see you out at Tom's Watch Bar. We'll be out there at 5 o'clock watching the first round of the draft. We'll have speakers. We'll have microphones. Nothing will be live. We're just out there with you talking hoops, having a good time, and hopefully discussing a massive Kings trade that makes them contenders in the Western Conference.
Yeah, but is it the worst thing if they do make the pick? I feel like I'm kind of talking myself into that happening.
Are you talking yourself into it happening because you think it's the right thing to do, or because you think it's going to happen?
Because I think it's like just I think that because I've accepted that that's probably what's going to happen.
Like, look, man, here's where I'm at on it.
Like, I would love Kuzma for the 13th and insert player, but
no doubt. And if they do that, awesome. But I also don't think that they're going to trade the 13th pick for Cam Johnson.
Yeah.
And even then, I don't think that's creating like some crazy buzz.
I think people would be happy. I'd be happy if like we came away from the night with like Cam Johnson and all that, but I don't know. They've been active. They've been trying, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I guess. But no, it's definitely not. Let me circle back. It's not the worst thing if they make the pick.
Yeah.
It's not the world is ending. Oh my God, what are they doing? Fire everybody. That's not if they traded the pick for someone who's not going to play, then okay. But they're not going to do that. They're smarter than that.
Yeah, no, I don't think. Yeah, Monty, but no.
I think there will be, because we've talked so much about and we've theorized so much and written so much and tweeted so much about all these hypothetical moves they could make. If they wind up just not using the 13th pick to make that move and they just draft somebody, it'd be like, oh. Like, there'd be just be a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah, because it's like, well.
Go ahead.
Even if they do draft someone, it's like the issues of needing someone who can create their own shot and just kind of be a playmaker, like other than Monk. Because once Monk went down, like they had no one besides Fox, and they were done. So mm-hmm. like you still, like there's still things you need to fix on this roster. So just kind of like you make the pick, that's fine. And maybe you get a guy who's going to give you 10, 15 minutes a game or whatever, however much. But like we still have bigger issues at hand that I think you need to fix if you want to be the team you want to get to.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the issue would be the unknown. And just going in and going, oh, okay, best case, this rookie's going to give us 12 minutes a night. And how good is he going to be defensively right away? Is he going to be able to stay on the court? There would just be a lot of question marks around it. Versus if they trade the pick to go get a proven veteran, whoever it is, like pick your favorite player, pretend they go get him for the 13th pick and change, then you can be fired up about it because now you can, hey, here's exactly how it's going to work. Here's how this guy can play. And then they have switchability here and here. And look at this defensive lineup. And when they need to go offensively, they can do X, Y, and Z. There would be so much to break down. Whereas if they go get Jacoby Walter, we can go, all right, well, he was pretty good defensively at Baylor and he can definitely shoot it. But I'm unsure about his creation. Does he? He's not going to start. Does he play over?
X player
Kevin Huerter? Is he taking Keon Ellis minutes? What is he doing here? That's more the questions we're asking.
I mean, the eyes kind of turned to Keegan Murray too. If no deal's done today either.
Yeah,
like, 1,000%. That's not plan B. But Keegan, I think Mike Brown and Monty McNair want Keegan to be that guy too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I hope they're not, you're right. I just hope they're not making moves or not making moves. I hope they're not operating under the assumption that, oh yeah, Keegan's just going to be that dude. Mm-hmm. Keegan's going to be an all-star next year. Because maybe he is, but you can't operate under that assumption. Because if you do, I think you're going to sell yourself super short this offseason.
Yeah.
You know for sure that Keegan's going to be an all-star caliber player next year. Going to create off the bounce more, and he's going to play awesome defense, and he's going to score 22 points a night. And oh my God, look, they basically have Brandon Ingram. If that happens, well, now all of a sudden you can go sign Torrey Craig.
Yeah, it's a lot easier now to fix the rest of the team.
Right, but you can't bank on that.
Yeah.
To me, for the same reason you can't bank on a draft pick coming in and being that dude. Like there's a level of unknown and a level of uncertainty that I don't think, look at what the Knicks just did. The Knicks went to the conference semifinals. They made the playoffs in consecutive years. They go to the conference semifinals and they looked at their team, and they could have very easily gone, man, if OG Anunoby and Julius Randle were healthy, we're in the conference finals, run it back. But no, they took all these picks, and they said, hey, we might be overpaying here, but we're going to go get Mikal Bridges. We're going to shove all of our chips in, unprotected first, the works. And you saw it. Five first-round picks, right. Bojan Bogdanovic to throw a player in, and here we go. And they went and they made that move because they went, hey, this is how we're going to get better for next year. This is how we're going to try and get better for next year. And that, to me, that's the point the Kings are at, because the Knicks aren't super young.
Yeah, no, they're all just in their primes and all that. I mean, not just in their primes, but more so like in the middle of them.
Right. They're not
going backwards.
They're not at a point like Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City's got a bunch of dudes who are still on rookie contracts. So they have a little bit of runway here to kind of pick and choose when they're going to make their moves. But if you're Monty McNair, I'm sorry. I don't accept the idea, or I won't accept the explanation of like, well, the right move just wasn't out there. So,
yeah.
Like, then...
I'm curious about that, too. We'll talk to Sean Cunningham when he comes up right now at 10:30 from ABC 10, or not, maybe Fox 40, excuse me.
Yeah, out of bed.
Fox 40. But, yeah, we'll ask him, because I'm just, like, how determined are they to make a move? Like, is it just a matter of, like you said, we're not going to overpay, we'll make this draft pick and keep it moving?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would assume that at some point they're going to feel the same level of urgency that we all do. I'm going to assume that, and I have not had that much beef with how Monty McNair has gone about this. Mm. In fact, I think he's done a really, really nice job. I think they've put the right people in place, roster-wise and coaching-wise, to kind of take these steps forward. But now you're at a point where, great, you made the playoffs, you won 46 games the next year, you were in the play-in, fell a little short of the playoffs, but now you're at the point where that massive trade where you're going, ooh, that was a little bit of an overpay, might just need to happen.
And that's okay if it does, too.
Right. Like, we've been talking about Kyle Kuzma, right? And the 13th pick and Kevin Huerter, or pick a player. I don't get a player in the 13th pick, or maybe two players in the 13th pick for Kyle Kuzma, and let's get that deal done. But hey, if it's going to take a couple of firsts or three firsts, and that's the move that's out there, and Monty McNair in the Kings front office thinks that, hey, this is the step. This is going to definitely make us a playoff team. And if we get a couple of things to break our way, we could really be a contender in the West. Then go do that.
Yeah, you have to.
If they go trade three first round picks, I'm going to keep using Kyle Kuzma and three first round picks.
That's just the name we've been talking about.
Pick your favorite deal that you've come up with, and that can be the thing. So if they go make that move, I'm not going to sit here, and I don't know if you are, fine, but I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, nope, shouldn't have done that. That's too many picks.
Well, because it's like, if you do believe that is the move that takes you over, like takes you to the next level, what are you waiting for at that point? Like, if you do have to overpay, that's fine, it. But like, just what are you waiting for?
Punt every pick into the sun, dude.
Facts.
And that's not to say punt every pick to go get a ninth man. That's not. If you're going and getting a starting caliber player, though, or a player that you believe is the missing piece to what your team needs to take that next step and to become a legitimate, like, bona fide, for sure, top six all year. None of this, like, yeah, well, hey, if you beat the Mavericks on this night and these two teams lose, you have this tiebreaker. Like, no. You're
beat the Pelicans one of these six times.
Right. You're comfortably a top six team all year, and you're not losing to the Pelicans six times.
Yeah.
If Kyle Kuzma is that guy, or if it's Brandon Ingram, or if it's a different player, go pay what it's going to take to make that deal, because I'm not gonna.
I don't think anyone's gonna fault you if you do either.
No,
the Knicks gave up a lot of first round picks. They have five picks, four unprotected, but it's like, you see the vision. You see, okay, yeah, like, they're ready to go in the East now.
Yeah, and if they swing and miss, oh well, mm-hmm. It didn't work. But I would so much rather be talking about that, and I would so much rather, if you're Monty McNair and the Kings, be able to look at this roster and go, man, they took a big swing. This is, they pushed their chips in. Dang, good for them. They committed.
Well, you kind of...
I would so much rather that.
Well, real quick, too, like, Anthony Slater in the Athletic article threw it in there. Like, there's kind of like, I don't know if regret's the right word, like, if that was the exact word in the article or whatever, but like, hey, like, maybe we could have traded for Pascal Siakam and convinced them to stay here or something like that. Like,
yeah.
They made, like, not taking a chance when you could have.
Yeah, and
I'm not saying that Pascal is the one guy you do that for or whatever, but just more so, like, you did have an opportunity to take a chance.
Right, they experienced it once. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I will defend them trading picks for the right player and overpaying. I will defend that I will die on that hill. A hill I'm not going to die on is one where they went, you know, the move wasn't out there. We didn't like, we're going to run it back and try it again. Got this draft pick we're really happy with.
We like what we got here.
I'm not going to buy that. Not feeling that. Sean Cunningham of Fox 40, friend of the program. He's also on the Kings Beat podcast with James Hamm and Brendan Nunes. He's going to be joining us shortly. We'll ask him, are the Kings ready to be aggressive and push all their chips in? Are they going to be making a pick tonight? We'll talk about all that with Sean Cunningham from Fox 40 coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle Madsen. That's Jesse Tapia. No James Hamm this week. He is on assignment. So I said, hey, why don't we get another member of the Kings Beat podcast, Sean Cunningham from Fox 40, friend of the program, in the building. Sean, what's going on, man?
Oh, just getting ready for the NBA draft. 2 days this year. Why?
I don't, dude, why? Can we just briefly, before we dive into this?
Yeah.
I understand they want to maximize the TV time for the draft. But is anyone locking in to day two of the draft?
Are you tuning in for Bronny?
No.
No? I feel like that's the only way you get people in there.
That's a Twitter thing. I can find that out on Twitter.
I mean, I guess you kind of have to. Like, let's see what it looks like. But Are you getting excited for it? Likely not. They're only adding more time to it. Usually what would it take, like 3 minutes beforehand, or when, you know, now it's four. It's almost as much as the first round when you have 5 minutes in between picks. I don't know. NFL of them, and they didn't need to be.
They have it in the middle of the day too? Isn't it on at like 1 o'clock?
Yeah, I think you're right, Jesse. Yeah. That was something I had completely forgotten about.
Middle of the day, yeah.
So it's going to be on during your guys' show, D'Lo and KC.
Yeah, tune in to D'Lo and KC on Thursday. We'll carry all the picks live, I guess.
All right, hell yeah. Sean, obviously you've been covering the Kings, you're covering the Kings. But I want to talk about the Nets real quick. Were you surprised when the Mikal Bridges news came down last night?
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, you're talking... Dude, what, 20, with respect, Mikal Bridges is a hell of a player, right?
Yes.
But 28 years old, never an all-star, and you just give up 5 first-round picks, 4 of them are unprotected, and Bojan Bogdanovic? What?
Oof, that's a lot.
What are we doing? I mean, I think people think about, like, setting the bar, but you have to be aggressive, but you're the Knicks. You just came off of a... Are you that drunk to try to go out and beat the Celtics that you have to make a move like that? Like, to me... You could move Julius Randle. You could do a number of things. I think that was a little overly aggressive, but hey, man, kudos to them. That's the type of swing for the fences move you kind of have to make. And honestly, if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, you're pretty thrilled about it. I mean, look, it's going to suck for probably the next 2 years, but you know, you've got a brand new head coach. You've got a pretty decent front office that wants to make moves and just ended up, you know, fleecing the Knicks. And, you know, there's no guarantee it works out for the Knicks. But that being said, I kind of want to see it. I want to see it with the Knicks. I want to see all those wing players. And correct me if I'm wrong. One of you is a Celtics fan, right?
Yeah.
That's Jesse.
Yeah. So, like, you know, they're coming after you, right? Yeah. And if I'm OG Anunoby's camp, like, yeah, you better pay me. Now you have to pay me.
Yeah.
You think the, because you mentioned like the Knicks like overpaid for it and all that, but they feel like it's something they can get them on level with Boston. Do you think the Kings would be willing to overpay for someone this offseason, maybe to get them to the next level? Or do you think Monty's just kind of like, if the right deal's out there, we'll take that? Kind of like how they've been Comco and collected a bit.
For me, that's a tough question to answer because, I mean, when you think about it, just look at the history of like Monty McNair, what's the most risk he's taken? And clearly it's Halliburton for Sabonis, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't expect him to make that type of move. And then you also kind of figure it like, I'm not trying to say that Monty McNair is on the hot seat by any means, but I put myself in Vivek Ranadive's shoes and, you know, it's something that people kind of poke fun at, but it's not exclusive to Sacramento. He's going to be involved in every decision that is taking place. Mm-hmm. If Monty McNair is coming to me and saying, I've got to move 4 first-round picks, 5 first-round picks, for someone who's not an all-star to help us right away, I'm probably not allowing Monty McNair to make that type of swing for the fences type move. But that's just me. I mean, I'm not saying that like as something that I know, but that just seems a little far-fetched for me to get behind if I'm the likes of Vivek Ranadive. But I don't know. I also don't know that, you know, they would make... I certainly think they're going to be aggressive, and I certainly think that they are not afraid to use their draft capital, but that's a lot, man.
Talking with Fox 40, Sean Cunningham, but if they perceive something as an overpay, even if they think, Kyle Kuzma has been the hot name, right? Even if Kyle Kuzma is the guy that they believe is going to get them into that, firmly a top six team, no more of this play-in stuff, they're just going to be a playoff team with Kyle Kuzma in the lineup, but it's 3 first-round picks and a couple expirings for him. And they perceive that to be an overpay. You don't think they would do it?
Well, I don't think they're as positioned like the Knicks necessarily are with some of the pieces that they have and some of the flexibility that they could have.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're from a Kings standpoint, it's a completely different ball game because you've got 2 players that you very much like as the pillars of your team,
mm-hmm.
and you've got this unknown quantity in what Keegan Murray could be, right? And with all intents and purposes, like Keegan Murray is probably your most attractive trade chip, and he's someone you probably don't want to move because it would be very hard to get fair, equal value for something that he could become, right? So, you know, your draft picks are certainly your most movable pieces, but it, like, this isn't like a go after one player who puts you over the top, right? The Knicks, I feel like, can, based off the season that they had, they're thinking that, hey, adding Mikal Bridges and becoming the Nova Knicks and betting on the continuity that we have and what we did this year, adding one piece, maybe two pieces, if they can keep, and if they can keep Hartenstein, however that works, maybe move a Mitchell Robinson, maybe move a Julius Randle, you know, they're a little further along in the ballgame, especially being in the East where it's wide open, you know, in the West, it's so crazy. So with respect to Sacramento, to me, there's not a singular move out there that puts them in that category. So I don't think that there's that type of move for them to make.
How determined do you think they are to make a move? Like, do you think they'd be happy making the pick tonight and kind of banking on internal development going forward a bit, or like moving on, working on the rest around the edges, or how determined do you think they are to get a deal done?
I think they're determined. They're determined to try to make their team better in the now. I think that they're certainly shopping. They're certainly going to see what's out there. They're going to know what's attainable to them and what they're comfortable in doing. But at the end of the day, they're going to be more than ready to make this pick. And I've kind of thought about this a lot over the past couple of weeks after talking to a lot of different people, primarily outside the organization, because, I think there's, from a competitive standpoint, I think there's teams that would kind of like to see where, you know, kind of things are in their finances to add a piece that's going to eat into their cap quite a bit, to have that, you know, the $5 million hold for whoever comes in at 13 or higher, if they move up or back, whatever, however it looks. But, they can't really move the pick because of the Stepien rule and what they have kind of tied up with Atlanta. So you have to attach a name for it. So, last year they were able to have conversations and draft for the Dallas Mavericks when they took Omax, Olivier Maxence Prosper. So if they have those conversations and they're there, it's going to make it a lot easier. But if they have to attach a name to it without necessarily having a destination for him, then it provides a world of unknown as well. So I'm ready for anything. I really am. And I think they have, you know, these pathways, all these different ways of saying that, hey, we're going to be comfortable in doing this XYZ, this person falls to us, this changes our calculus if we want to do this draft. I think it's gonna be interesting, but if I was a betting man, I think they're ready to pull the trigger at 13 and add someone to their team.
Wow. Sean Cunningham, Fox 40, did you say Omax?
Yeah.
You guys just tied like that?
Olivier Maxence Prosper. That's what everyone refers him to. I haven't had to say his name in a long time, so we've always just referred to him as Omax, just to keep it.
Omax works.
So. It does. That's kind of a fire name. No. I had not heard that before. is there a move that if Monty McNair called you and said, hey, what's the best way we can go about this? What would you tell him? Like if you were the Kings GM, how would you go about this?
Oh man.
Like, is there a player you would pursue? I don't need you to put deals together. Is there a player you would ideally pursue? Is it making the pick? What do you think?
Well, I think I'd be prepared to make the pick, but I think you can be aggressive in trying to let me put it this way. I don't know that 13 has a ton of value. When you look at, if I'm going big game hunting, right? And I'm going for I don't know if I put Kuzma in the big game hunting, but certainly I put Brandon Ingram in that category. So let me just shift the category to Brandon just for the sake of conversation.
Sure.
If you're the Kings and you're trying to grab a player like that, right? You're looking at your draft capital beyond this year. And I think you're looking at down the road more so, especially if you're looking at a team like New Orleans, who's also in a win now situation where, you know, they're kind of like you in a way. So you do have some decently nice pieces that can help other teams, but, you know, you got to spend money to make money. And there's a you can't be afraid of luxury tax. You can't be afraid of some of the things that come down the pike here, and it's going to get harder and harder for these teams, especially in that second apron, to be able to maneuver and make moves. So they've kept a lot of flexibility for themselves, and you could make an argument that as much as they've positioned themselves to be aggressive this offseason, that it might not be the right time to pounce, because you give it a year or even up to the trade deadline. And I know fans don't love that because they've already been patient enough. They haven't really seen that move since Sabonis and Halliburton. Mm-hmm. And it reeks of you have to run it back. But the reality is teams are going to get desperate the closer mm-hmm. they get to that second apron. And if they get into that tier and it's not working and you identify maybe who those teams are, and you know, being able to pounce on the right move as opposed to doing something for the now and say, all right, we maybe figured that we might have more flexibility or have somebody that we could target and pick clean up. And the reality is you have to have those conversations and say, is it enough? Now, the tough part is the spotlight is burning bright on this Kings front office because yep. everyone's anticipating them making a move. And I think they are being aggressive. At the end of the day, I do like to caution folks that it's sometimes the moves you don't make that end up being the best ones. So for me, I've certainly targeted a lot of people. Like, you know, if you're going, I think you need, in my mind, you need that type of player. You need a Ingram, you need a dynamic wing, a mm-hmm. scorer, a long athletic person. You need someone who's a rim protector. Sabonis needs help. I think you know what you need, especially when it comes to size and physicality. However, a lot of those, I mean, everyone's trying to gobble those guys up, right? So look at Brooklyn in a way. Their whole landscape changed. Is Cam Johnson available?
Yep.
Would you try to factor Dorian Finney-Smith? Are they worth some of the capital that you have? So there's certainly conversations I'd have, but this is the NBA. Things change by the day. So, I wouldn't. I'm also the guy that also says that Keegan Murray isn't untouchable only because I'm a guy who believes that nobody is untouchable.
Sure.
You're only untouchable until you're not. So whatever messaging or PR you want to put behind that, the reality is you're only untouchable until you're not. So the only thing you know is that for the now, he's untouchable, but you're going to try and go and make your team better. Yeah. And you're trying to build around Fox and Sabonis. Should you? That's also part of the question. To answer your question, I would just say be aggressive, but you have to make the right move. And I don't think that Mikal Bridges move, you know, unloading the whole cabinet, mm-hmm. especially considering you're a ninth place team. You're not a team. You went from third to ninth with 2-win differential. Mm-hmm. You know, if the Knicks had lost 2 games less than what they did last year, they're still like an elite team in the East.
Right.
Do you think if, like, say the right move doesn't come about and all that, and they do make the pick, do you think that'd be disappointing at the end of the night?
No, I mean, I think there's going to be fans that are going to be disappointed one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know, I think the reality is there's a lot of people that think, you know, 13 and a future first, and you know, you throw out the likes of Kevin Herter and Harrison Barnes should net you the likes of Kevin Durant, and anything short of that would be, you know, disappointing. I just think there's a lot of unrealistic expectations when it comes to things like that. That said, you know, there's a lot that can happen, and It sometimes talks. It feels like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but I just don't think. I think there's an inflated belief out there for what 13 in this draft could really net you, and I would caution that and say I don't think it's about 13 as much as it is about mm-hmm. if you're the Kings and you're looking to really bolster your roster for the now, it's not necessarily 13. It's what does your draft capital beyond these next 2 years look like,
no doubt,
for another team, and what can that net you?
No doubt. Can't wait to watch and see what happens tonight. That's Sean Cunningham, Fox 40. Make sure to tap into all their coverage of the NBA draft over there. Sean, thank you so much for hanging out with us, man.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Sean. To you.
Sean Cunningham, Fox 40, also on the Kings Beat podcast.
It's facts.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Also, subscribe to the James Hammond, Kyle Madsen show. That's this program, but there's like legal stuff of what we could call it.
It's like a secondary logo for the show.
Yeah, it's just a James Hammond, Kyle Madsen show. So check it out wherever you get your podcast. I think it's interesting that so many people around the Kings whether it's James or whether it's Sean, both guys who are around the team every single day. I've talked to a couple other people who are on the team quite a bit. And just nobody has... It's not one of those things where, yeah, hey, everybody's kind of leaning toward this. Like, nobody can report it, but like, hey, this is... Because that'll happen sometimes. But it's genuinely, like, Sean just kind of laid it out. Like, don't know. There's a million different ways.
It feels like the Kings are just covering all their bases at this point. Like, they are being active, trying to make a deal happen, but it's just a matter of if it doesn't, all right, yeah, well, we worked out a handful of guys right here. We're comfortable making this pick as well. It's just a matter of, like, they could literally do anything. It's just nothing is just taking the forefront yet.
Yeah.
I also think that 13th pick, I don't know, I got thoughts about the value of that now.
Why? What?
I don't think it's as valuable as maybe we were thinking. I don't know if that's getting this Kyle Kuzma. Like, I'm sorry. Like, maybe.
That was the thing is when Sean said, I don't know if that has the value. That's tough.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes to the conversation about Alex Caruso yesterday. Alex Caruso, really good player. Mm-hmm. But the Kings offered the 13th and as the key piece of the deal. I don't know if it was an expiring or what would have been attached to it. But the 13th pick and a player for Alex Caruso, and the Bulls went with Josh Giddey instead. Mm-hmm. And Josh Giddey's, I mean, you can have your issues with him off the court, but
he's still got potential in the NBA as far as his ability and all that.
Been a good player, right? Size, good rebounder. He's the youngest player ever to record a triple-double, mm-hmm. I think is a thing. So I guess I could see why they would do that, but that the 13th pick, A, was going to move for Alex Caruso, which is like, oh man, that kind of feels
kind of like, okay, like I see the vision, but that
feels
was
a little bit. But maybe that's just kind of where it is. Maybe it's that tier of player that you can go get where, hey, maybe we're not looking at, certainly not Brandon Ingram and certainly not Kyle Kuzma.
Cam Johnson, what are you doing over there?
Yeah, what's Cam Johnson doing for 13? That's something I think because if the Nets want to get another pick in this year's draft, mm-hmm. I don't know if there's another team picking higher than the Kings that would be willing to go make that deal. But yeah, Cam Johnson's a player I think would fit nice.
Yeah, going into today, I was like, yeah, I think the Kings are going to make the pick and all that. Just don't think Kyle Kuzma's happening. Now it's kind of like they could make a deal, but I don't think Kyle Kuzma for 13 is happening either.
Yeah, man. If you're Washington, and Sean made a good point too. It's all circumstantial.
Yeah.
But if you're Washington and you see what Mikal Bridges just went for, if you were having talks about the 13th pick, you're going, okay, well, I need the 13th and some other stuff.
Yeah, well, maybe like, if that's the market. Like, yeah, you can get Kuzma, but we want your pick next year or something like that. Not talking to the Kings because they can't trade 2025, but looking at another team.
That was why, man, that's why we talked about this a lot with James. We'll be back next week, but that's why missing the playoffs this year was such a big deal.
Yeah.
Because, okay, they have the 13th pick. That's a nice little asset to have, but the fact that they can't just easily say, yeah, hey, here's 2020, so it would be, let's see, the Hawks pick, so they would have 25. So here's 25 and 27, and here's all these picks that we, now it's like, well, it could be 26, but it might also be 27, and if it's not, then it'll have to be a 20. It just, it's way more complicated, and if teams are going to start, if this is what rebuilding teams are looking for, if they're just looking for picks... I don't
get to work, Monty. I don't know.
They need what the Kings need tonight is a prospect to slide that some team that has a player that the Kings want is just infatuated with. I don't know who that we'll stick with Kyle Kuzma because that's a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. If the Wizards, let's say Ron Holland from the G League Ignite,
so that's been the name that's been kind of sliding down too,
right? And the Wizards are like, this is our dude, we need that guy. And he gets to 13. Okay, now maybe you're playing ball.
Yeah.
But if Ron Holland gets to 13 and there's no teams that are knocking down the door to get him, or Nikola Topic or Rob Dillingham, if one of those guys falls and there's no team that wants, I think if I'm betting right now, I think I'm leaning toward what Sean said, and I'm leaning toward you.
That they
make. I think they're just going to make the pick.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think they're going to pick a guy who's like 6'8 and hustles on defense and can knock down a three.
Yeah. Like,
pick your favorite prospect who does that.
Then it's like, I don't know. Like I said, we talked in the beginning of the show. I don't know if I've just come to accept it or if I just don't hate it or if I'm forward or whatever. But like, Monty's going to take a guy, I think, who's going to be NBA ready. Like, how NBA ready is how, like, whatever, but sure. Like, you'll pick a guy who, like, can contribute, I think, at least in that range. So
yeah, that's a I don't know who the player is, mm-hmm. but it's definitely not a player that I see the vision with Ron Holland, right?
Yeah, it's just
like you see where his trajectory is, but what does he give you this year?
Yeah.
I don't think the Kings can afford to wait around.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, guy's going to contribute however much this year, yeah. maybe a little bit more next year, and even more the third year, but it's like, it's not going to be more than Kuzma or anyone else can this year.
I think it's going to wind up being a guy that feels like a reach.
Don't say that.
No, not because they're a bad player.
Yeah.
But so much of... Go look at the analysis when Ron Holland gets mocked to the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
It's like super high upside. If he gets his jump shot under control, wow, what a player. It's all about like upside and what he can be.
Yeah.
And I think the Kings are going to look at somebody who maybe goes in a mock like 17, 18, 19, and they're like, nah, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Because that guy's a little older, so he's going to slide in the draft, but that guy's going to help us now.
Who's the fourth year senior out there?
Yeah, or even, I mean, second or third year guy. Yeah. It doesn't even have to be.
Oh, yeah.
That's my crazy, insane idea is you trade back. You get 24 and 25 from the Knicks. And then you use those picks to go get Dorian Finney-Smith and Cam Johnson.
So we're doing and Cam Johnson.
Yes.
I read that text that says DFS or Cam Johnson. We're doing both?
Yeah, why not both?
I'm for that.
Well, because it was initially trade one, mm-hmm. use one.
Yeah.
But now maybe package them both, be like, hey, Brooklyn, we got you. Here's two picks in this year's draft.
I'd be down for that.
Give us both those guys.
That'll work. I think that'd be a good day, too, for the Kings.
I haven't done the math on the money, but...
No, don't. We're a radio show.
We're cool on that?
Trade machine, figure it out. That's stuff we deal with later.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to get to work on the trade machine to try and make this happen at the break.
That's facts. We're cooking.
Because the Knicks hold the 24th and 25th picks.
Mm.
So Kings move back. Knicks jump up to 13. Now the Knicks can go get a guy they can stash. Maybe they're in the Kings spot where they're going, yeah, hey, here's a guy who can give us a few minutes this year. And now the Kings have two picks that they can play with. Or maybe at that spot, maybe like Keyshawn George falls from Miami. Like, this is that dude. Love Keyshawn George.
Maybe you just focus on Thursday and take Bronny and like, hey, Bron, let's go. We got the contract ready.
Hey, does he?
Imagine LeBron signs for the mid-level.
Stop. Stop.
Come on, Bron.
It's become very clear throughout this process. It's so funny. James and I talked about that one day, and D'Lo came in for the handoff, and he was like, this is the dumbest thing. LeBron is not going where Bronny's going. All right, fair.
Come on, let's have some fun.
It is a fun idea.
Yeah.
It is a fun thought experiment. But yeah, I don't think it's happening. NBA draft is tonight. Day one of the NBA draft, round one of the NBA draft is tonight. We're going to be hanging out at Tom's Watch Bar. Jesse's going to be there. I'm going to be there. D'Lo, Casey, Charlie, Joe from Promotions. Everybody's going to be hanging out at Tom's Watch Bar. We'll have mics. We'll have speakers. Nothing live. Just out there talking hoops and enjoying a good time with some friends. So come hang out at Tom's Watch Bar again. Festivities begin at 5 o'clock. We'll keep talking NBA draft. You brought up Bronny James. Maybe the most interesting non-King storyline going into this draft. I will talk a little bit about that next. He's Jesse. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.